I'm really glad you guys are here. I'm gonna give a shout out to the Mosers. They just texted me right in the middle of stuff. They're in Florida and they're checking in. They said they miss our church family. I wanna say hey to Pell, because he was looking for Miss Ann. So Ann, you've been looked for. But it's cool that we can have people not just in our town connecting online because of COVID, but we can have some people who've been our friends for a long time who are signing on from places like Florida or even Haiti. I don't know if you guys realize that, but sometimes we have some of our Haiti friends who sign on and watch our part of our worship from Alex's house down there. It's pretty cool that we can do that. But I want to ask you guys a question as we kind of think about what we're going to talk about today. But the question is this: who was the teacher that had the most impact on your life growing up? Just think about that person. Who was the teacher who had the most impact on your life growing up? Now, I know for some of you, that was a literal teacher, like, you know, in school. Like for me, my 12th grade English teacher was very, very impactful on my life. When I got to graduate school, my church history professor, Dr. Karen Bullock, was very influential in my life. Others of you, it was a mom or a dad, or maybe a grandparent, or maybe it was some, you know, pastor or something like that. But think back, get their picture in your mind for just a minute. Who was the teacher that made the most impact on your life? See, I think most of us have somebody that pops into our head. There's somebody that we think about, because we all know that we are who we are. We do some of the things that we do. We think some of the way we think. We are where we are because of the influence of a teacher. Like a teacher made that much of an impact on our life. Now I want you to think about something for a minute. What if you, some of you, have been uniquely called by God to be that person for somebody else? It's a pretty profound and kind of, you know, moving thought that God might actually call some of us to be that impactful person in somebody else's life. Not necessarily as a school teacher, but as someone who kind of is uniquely gifted by God to kind of make his word come alive and cause other people to want to be a part of what God's doing because of how they understand the things of God. Well, I hope that today some of you realize that you have this unique and important gift of teacher. I think there are some of you in this room that have that. We've been talking about some gifts that God has given all of us out of Ephesians chapter 4, just kind of review where we've been for the past few weeks. We've been looking at this whole idea that God has given all of us a gift, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. In other words, what Paul wants us to know is that each and every person who is a part of the family of God, each and every person who calls themselves a Christian, has been given a gift. And what are those gifts? Well, he goes on to tell us. He says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. Those are the gifts, these five roles, these five responsibilities, which I know a lot of us grew up in church thinking that these five roles were for the professional Christians, but what we've been exploring is what if these aren't just for those who do what I do, but these gifts are actually for all of us in the church, which seems to be what Paul's saying when you look at what he said earlier. But he's given us these gifts to equip the saints for works of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, we've talked about kind of what each one of these gifts are. We've talked about the apostle. The apostle is one who calls the church to live on mission for God. The apostle is the one who calls the church to live sent, to live out, to be thinking of those who are not a part of us yet. The apostle is the one who's really good at starting brand new things. There's just something about them that's dissatisfied with the way things are, and they want to see new things happen so that more people can be brought into the kingdom. We talked about the prophets. Those aren't those who predict the future. That's a misunderstanding of what a prophet is. A prophet is one who calls the church to live lives of faithfulness and obedience. They see how things are, they know how God wants them to be, and they speak into that gap. They call us to more faithful and obedient lives. Then you have the evangelist. Those are the great recruiters to the cause, the ones who are all about come to the party. They're encouraging others through either conversation or invitation or any, you know, different ways. They want to bring people into the family of God. They're just great representatives of the kingdom. Last week, we talked about the shepherds, those who have something in them that just loves people and wants to care for people, and they do it in all kinds of different ways. Sometimes they do it one-on-one. Sometimes they do it to a big crowd. But there's something about shepherds that want to care for people and make sure that people know that they matter and that they are loved and that they are important in the family of God. Well, today we're going to wrap it up. Actually, next week's going to be the end of this series as we kind of bring all of this together. But today I want to talk about this final gift, this final role, the role of a teacher. Now, what is a teacher? Most of us would say we know what a teacher is, right? I mean, there are people that teach. They share information. But I want us to think about it as one who kind of mediates wisdom and understanding. Now think about that word mediate. There's someone that, a mediator is one who goes in between two different parties. So what a teacher does is they take information that is out there and they make it understandable in here and in here. They take things that are like, huh, or out there like I'm not a math person, right? And my middle son is actually he got a perfect score on the math SAT score. I'll just call it out there. He knows math, and his critique of my not being able to do math was, you just didn't have a good teacher, which makes me feel better because I just think I'm dumb when it comes to math. But he's like, you just didn't have a good teacher. You didn't have someone who took what was out there and made it understandable in here and in here. But that's what a teacher does. They take information that's out there and they make it understandable in our heads and in our hearts. And we see teachers all throughout the secular realm, right? I mean, they're everywhere. They're those that are effective trainers. They're those that inspire learning. They're philosophers and thinkers. They're people who understand ideas and make those ideas understandable to the rest of us. They're people who shape our thinking. But biblically, teachers do something different. I want to give you kind of a biblical definition of a teacher, what I think Paul was getting at when he said that some of you have this gift. Here it is. A teacher, from a biblical perspective, teachers help the church immerse themselves in Scripture so that the church can live how God has called them to live. Let me read that again because I want it to sink in. I don't want you to miss any of it. Teachers help the church to immerse themselves in Scripture so that the church can live how God has called them to live. That is that they take Scripture, they take the Bible, and they help us, the rest of us, kind of apply it so that we can live our lives according to the way the Bible says we should live our lives. So that we can live our lives from a biblical perspective, with a biblical worldview. Teachers help people gain insight into how God wants them to live and how he wants them to experience their world in light of what Scripture teaches. See, teachers are, like it says, they're concerned with theological truth. They help us to immerse ourselves in Scripture. But they're also concerned with us living our lives under that authority. They're concerned with us living our lives that are consistent with that truth. See, a lot of times we think of teachers as just people who like to share ideas, right? They just like to spout out ideas. Like they're interested. But teachers are more than just interested in sharing ideas, they're interested in the rest of us who are part of the church living out those ideas. That is, teachers, as the Bible intends them to be, teach in a way that is more inclined towards transformation than information. See, teachers aren't just interested in spouting out information. A biblical teacher wants us to live lives of transformation, where we're living out the information. That's why I like to say a lot of times, I'd rather you know and do one thing out of the Bible than have the entire Bible memorized and not do any of it. That's why we say it's important not just to hear from God, but to do what he says. And that's what teachers are passionate about. Take, for example, I've taken a lot of Bible classes, you know, because I went to graduate school in the Bible and stuff. And it's amazing to me how people that do what I do can just have endless discussions on just crazy things. Like, for instance, in the book of Matthew, the writer of the book of Matthew, he uses the phrase, the kingdom of heaven. But in every other gospel, they use the phrase, the kingdom of God. Now, I have been in discussions where people are arguing about why there's a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, and why Matthew would say kingdom of heaven, and why everybody else would say the kingdom of God. It's kind of interesting and stimulating, but a teacher isn't interested in arguing about the different meanings between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. A teacher is interested in focusing on how people live their lives in submission to the king. where the rule and the reign of God in their heart is what comes out. See, teachers don't just want to communicate information, they want to help us live lives that are transformed, of transformation. Now, the reason why it's so important for teachers to live lives that are to teach in a way that people live obediently to what it is they're teaching is that because when we don't do that, when we remove action out of information, we make faith just this intellectual acknowledgement. And Jesus was never about just intellectually acknowledging a faith. In fact, if you read in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus actually says in Matthew 5, he's like, look, many of you are going to say, Lord, we did this in your name, or Lord, you know, he says, you didn't do my Father's will, so you didn't know me. Like, you've got to do my Father's will. It's not just about knowing. James, the brother of Jesus, said, even the demons believe in God, but they don't do what he says to do, right? So it's so important that teachers teach in a way that moves people towards action, that moves people towards obedience. Now, another important thing to note about teachers, and this is something that I think that we miss a lot of times, but a teacher, from a biblical sense, needs to have a life that matches up with their message. They need to have a life that actually supports what it is that they're teaching. Because really, a biblical teacher, their life is their primary message. That's why Paul said to Timothy, who was teaching in one of these churches that Paul started, Paul looked at him, wrote him a letter, and he said, look, Timothy, I know you're young. Don't let anybody look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. It's not just about what you teach, Timothy. It's about how you live your life, and your life needs to be lived in such a way that's an example for others to follow. As I heard somebody say one time, we cannot teach what we do not know, and we cannot lead where we do not go. See, if those who are teaching can't actually do what it is that they're asking everybody else to do, they're really just hypocrites, right? Nobody wants to follow a teacher like that. That's why it's so, so important for us to recognize that biblical teachers actually need to live out what it is that they're teaching before it is that they teach what it is that they are teaching. Another thing about teachers, of all the five gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, and shepherd, the teaching gift is the only one that comes with a warning in Scripture. Now, we're told to test the prophets. We're told to test them, but that's not a warning. That's just an instruction for the rest of us to test the prophets. But when it comes to teachers, there's a very clear warning against being teachers from James, the half-brother of Jesus. Look at what he says. He says this. He says, not many of you should become teachers. To which we're like, that's an interesting thing to say, James. I mean, why would you say that? I mean, it seems to imply that there are a lot of people that were lining up, like interested in becoming a teacher. And the truth is, that's exactly what was happening in the first century world. See, in the first century world, the position or the role of teacher was one that was sought out by a lot of people. A lot of people wanted to be teachers. And the reason why is because if you were a teacher, it came with status, it came with prestige, it came with some power, it probably came with some finances, you know? So a lot of people wanted to become teachers. It was just the thing that you wanted to do in the early church. But what James says is not many of you should become teachers, which implies not many of you are teachers, even though you think you might be a teacher. See, one of the things that I've learned when I look through these gifts and just working with people for a lot of times is a lot of times I find people who say they have a gift of something, but it's just because they want that gift. You know what I mean? Like they want this, and so they say they have this, even though they don't have that. And I see that with teachers a lot of times. A lot of people in church say, well, I have a teaching gift. But the truth is, nobody's paying attention. Or you're not making anything come alive. Like nobody, after they hear you teach, wants to go back and dive into Scripture and look into it some more. It doesn't bring it to life. And I wrote this statement down just as kind of a warning for all of us in light of what James says here, that just because you want a gift doesn't mean you have the gift. Just because you want the gift doesn't mean you have the gift. So we need to be who you be the people that God has called us to be, which is exactly what James is getting at. But he goes on and says this: now many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know, here's the warning, you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Now, if anything should make you not want to be a teacher, it should be this word right here, because he's actually talking about God's judgment. And I don't know if any of us want to experience any of that. We want to get out of that if we can, right? But he's like, look, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Now, why would James issue this special warning? Well, I think all of us would probably agree that most of the toxic religion that we have experienced or that we've heard about has come from bad teaching, right? Think of all of the doctrinal controversies that have happened throughout church history. Those come from teachers who probably have said some things that they shouldn't have said. And so James says, look, not many of you should be teachers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. See, as teachers, we need to, those of us that are called to do this, we need to be cautious, because God's watching and he cares very much what we teach. And that should give us a little bit of apprehension. That should cause us to be a little fearful, I think. But at the same time, in light of this warning, in spite of this warning, good teachers are essential to the life of the church. Now, why would good teachers be essential? Well, I think good teachers help the Bible to come alive. All of us have heard somebody teach something one time out of the Bible, and you're like, I never thought about it that way. Oh my gosh, that's incredible. It's just made an impact on our life. See, that's because good teachers help the Bible come alive. They also can help us see some things in new ways. See, teachers are really good at helping us see things from different perspectives, giving us a new understanding of things. And teachers are also essential because they can help us live out our faith. Without teachers, we will never live out our faith the way that God has called us to live out our faith. This is why teaching is indispensable to the health of the church. Indispensable. It's so, so important. But just like I've said with every other gift, the teacher is not the only one around which the church revolves. Each one of these gifts is important. Each one of these gifts is essential. An apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a shepherd, a teacher. And I think that each one of you in this room and each one of you online, you have one of these gifts. And we're going to talk about this next week. But if maybe for you, you realize that you might have this gift of teaching a little bit, but it's misplaced. You're exercising this gift somewhere else. And maybe God's calling you to not only just exercise it in this realm, but to bring it and exercise it in the church world as well. So as we've been doing each of these series, I've got some bullet points to kind of help you kind of assess yourself to see if this really might be your gift. So as we go through things, maybe these lists, ask yourself, does this describe me? The core bent of a teacher is they are a mediator of wisdom and understanding. That is, they stand in between wisdom and understanding and us, and they communicate it. They help it come together. They are trainers and educators. They're interested in theological formation, not just for information, remember, but theological formation is very important, because what we believe about God, that impacts how we live for God. And so they're very interested in this. Their focus, the focus of a teacher, is they are focused on awareness and integration of truth. They want us to be aware of truth, but they also want us to integrate it into our lives. It's so, so important that we do that. Okay, let's look at the next one there. Overriding concern with making decisions. How does this line up with theology and scripture? A teacher is always coming back to, how does what we're doing line up with scripture? How does it line up with what we believe about God? That's what theology means, what we believe about God, right? How does everything line up? And they're always bringing things back to scripture. I score high on this gift right here. And one of the things, this just reminds me of a conversation I was having with my mother-in-law one time, and I just kept bringing the conversation back to, but Jesus calls us to live as kingdom citizens. And I just kept saying that, you know, Jesus calls us to live according to a different kingdom. You know, I just kept bringing, because that's what teachers do. They kept bringing us back to scripture. How does this line up with theology and scripture? Now, a metric for a success for a teacher is adequate engagement with, comprehension of, and consistency with truth in all of its forms. See, they want us to engage with truth, to comprehend truth, and to live lives that are consistent with the truth. And then how does, shortcomings. This is important to talk about when it comes to teachers. This is, I think, one of the reasons why James gave a warning for teachers. But shortcomings is they have a demand for ideology and conformity. That is, if you don't believe what I believe and you don't do things the way I say, you know, they can come across that way. A lot of times, if you don't just conform all of your beliefs to what I teach, you know, that's a shortcoming for a teacher, because teachers need to remember that they don't know everything. And a lot of times teachers come across as if they know it all. But the truth is they're just as short-sighted as others a lot of times. So they need to be careful about that. They have an over-focus on information over transformation. You've probably experienced that. I love what Mark Batterson says, that we are educated way beyond our level of obedience. You know, we know all this stuff about God. We know all this information, but we don't let it transform us. And teachers can kind of fall into that trap. Also, teachers can have a lack of urgency. They can be so consumed with everything they're trying to teach that they just want to spout off all this information. They don't want to let it kind of, that there's an urgency to it so we can live different lives. Also, I think teachers can be hypocritical. So easy to teach something that we don't live as teachers. And we need to be careful that we don't do that. Teachers had a slogan, it would be this. This is their t-shirt. Take time to know God. They just passionately want people to know God. And they know that we know God through how he's revealed in scripture. That would be their thing. Take time to know God. Now, what are some historical examples of teachers? Well, of course it would be Jesus, right? I mean, what's interesting about Jesus is that even people who don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God still think that Jesus was a great teacher, right? He was a great teacher. And if you remember after the Sermon on the Mount, what the response of the crowd was, you should read it. It's at the end of Matthew chapter 7. But it said, after his teaching, the crowds were amazed because he spoke as one who had authority. Now, these weren't people who had never experienced teaching. These were people who grew up going to the synagogue their whole lives. Their lives were consumed with teaching, but Jesus did something different. He taught as one who had authority. Jesus is a great example. Then you have Apollos, and I don't have his name on there, but you might want to put down James as well. James, the half-brother of Jesus. He was also known as a teacher, but Apollos, he was the one that Paul writes. He said, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered. Like Apollos did his stuff. He was a great teacher in the church in Corinth, so much so that it caused a little bit of division in the church. Then you have Augustine from church history, John Calvin from church history. I don't encourage you reading John Calvin because it's just confusing. But so is Augustine a little bit. But for those of you that are really smart in the room, you can read those guys. Then Henry Nouwen from last century is a great teacher. I think the best teacher in our church world in America today is Andy Stanley. I just think he's a fantastic teacher. These are examples of people who are teachers in our world. Now, the question I want to ask you is, did something kind of stir inside of you as we have talked about this gift? I have some assessment questions for you to ask yourself as you think through, is this you? Do you have a hunger to devour and understand the scriptures? Do you feel frustrated that others don't have the same hunger? That's me. I do that all the time. It's a problem. Do you demonstrate a passion to help the community understand the scripture in order to live faithfully to God and his mission? And then, this last one is so, so important. Has anyone ever told you that you are a good teacher? See, I think a lot of times, my experience, people are like, oh, God's given me this gift of teacher, you know? Has anybody ever told you that? You can use that same question, actually, for each and every one of these. Like I was talking with Larry this morning. I don't know where did Larry go. But Larry, we were talking about, he did this assessment for that I'm going to tell you guys to do here in just a minute. And I said, look, I know you didn't like your results. It's not that he didn't like his results. He overthought the test, right? And I said, well, take it with Sarah. Have Sarah help you answer the questions. Because sometimes we need other people to speak into us and point out who we might be. And So if you're a teacher, a great question to ask is, or if you think you might be, has anyone ever told you that you are a good teacher? I think some of you in this room, some of you watching online, you are teachers. God has given you a gift, and with that gift comes an incredible responsibility. You have the responsibility to help the rest of us grow in our understanding of Scripture, to grow in our love of Scripture, and to help us live our lives under the authority of Scripture. That's why teachers are so, so important and so, so essential. So are you a teacher? Okay, got some homework for you that I want you to do. Now, if you get the Hub City Church email, some of you have already done this, some of you keep putting it off, I wanna encourage you to keep doing this. But we've got this website here. I'm gonna post it on Facebook, it's in the Hub City email. But what this is just I love this assessment because it doesn't use churchy words. It's just a non-religious assessment that can help you discern which one of these gifts you might have. Now, let me just tell you, when you take this test, it's not Scripture. It's not going to pigeonhole you into something, because here's what I know about some of you. Some of you are going to take this test, and it should take you 5 minutes, but some of you it's going to take like 5 hours. Because you're gonna like overthink the question. You're like, oh my gosh, is that me? You know, and you're gonna go back and you're gonna, don't overthink it. Just kind of rush through it, you know? And then if you're unsure, you don't like your results, have your spouse take it with you. Have them answer the questions for you. You'll probably get a better, more accurate picture. You may not like it, but it's probably a little more accurate. Pick somebody who knows you well to take it. But here's what I want you to do. Everybody, whether you're at home, you're in the room, I want everybody who's a part of Hub City Church this week to take this spiritual gifts assessment. And then I want you to do two things with it. One, I want you to email it to me, jonathan@hubcitychurch.com, jonathaneverett@charter.net. Those are my two emails. Actually, I also have jonathansEverett@gmail.com. You can use any one of those. You can email it to me, email you me your results. That'd be great. I want to kind of just compile and kind of see what you think you might be. And then what I really want you to do is I want you to discuss your results from this with your hub group this week. I hope you're in a hub group already, but what I want you to do, instead of us kind of diving into a passage, we're gonna kind of dive into who we think we might be. We're gonna share with our groups what our gifts might be, what we feel like God has gifted us to do. And then next week, we're gonna come back and we're gonna talk about how all of this works together and how we might could live out these gifts together as a church family, so that our church can be built up, so that we can grow in unity, so that we can grow in maturity, so that we can grow in Christ's likeness. So your homework, remember, I want you to do this, email it to me. I appreciate those of you who've already done it. If you wanna add some commentary in there about, I really don't like this or whatever, some of you have already done that, you know. Mark sent it to me and he's like, this is a bunch of junk, you know. I mean, yeah, that's not the word that he said, but that's what I'll use. But, you know, you can do that as well. I want you to figure out what God has gifted you to do. I really believe that the health and the maturity and really the future of our church depends on us figuring out how God has gifted us and us living that out. And so I want you to take some time, encourage you to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for the opportunity to talk about this incredible gift, the gift of a teacher. And I know that you've gifted some of the people in this room to make your Scripture, to make your word come alive. And I know that some of those people, they don't know they have that gift yet, or maybe they're using that gift somewhere else. But for those that had something that stirred inside of them, would you give them kind of some insight into how they can use this gift for the benefit of the church? That they would exercise this responsibility to the best of their ability. We need the teachers to do what teachers are supposed to do so that we can have a better understanding of your word and how to live under the authority of your word. I also want to pray for our entire church family as we kind of assess ourselves this week, as we figure out which one of these five gifts we might have. And I ask that you would show us ways that maybe these gifts are dormant, they're like asleep right now. Show us how we can awaken them so that we can live a life worthy of the calling that we've received. That's really what we want to do, God. We want to live a life worthy of the calling that we've received, and each of us have received a calling. So would you just make that clear to us this week? We love you. Thanks for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We're getting ready to take communion together. I hope if you're at home, you have something that you can use to kind of share in remembering Jesus. And like I said earlier, you know, we all agree that Jesus was a good teacher, but we're not here today because Jesus was a good teacher. We're here today because we believe Jesus was the Savior who died on the cross and rose from the dead. He died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven, and he rose from the dead so that we might be able to spend eternity with him. And every time we take communion, we remember that. We remember our Savior. And so I want to invite you to take the bread, which reminds us of Jesus's body that was broken for us. And as we eat it, let's just tell him thank you. And then take the juice, which reminds us that his blood was shed so that our sins could be forgiven, which we all need our sins forgiven. Let's just remember and thank him for his forgiveness. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful, not only that you were a good teacher, you were a great teacher, but that you were way more than that. You're our Savior. And we remember that with this communion, with the bread and with the juice. Thank you for your sacrifice on our behalf. Thank you that while we were still sinners, Jesus, you died for us. That's how much you loved us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.